wherever you listen throughout the world. It's football time.
Welcome back to another episode. It is the Gridiron Guys. It's Zach here, and as always, joining me is Cam. How you been going, Cam? What's been up?
Oh, well, mate, really well. We're getting down to the nitty-gritty. I'm pretty excited, kind of over the Bengals and all the hype that's around them, so I'm hoping they dissipate this weekend. But three or four massive games over the weekend, wasn't there?
Yeah, it was huge, wasn't it? And it just was sort of back-to-back. And you really couldn't sort of pick it. I mean, even sort of the ones that we thought were going to be blowouts ended up being close. And a few upsets there, really, especially you mentioned the Bengals. I mean, they just keep proving everyone wrong. I know we sort of thought at the start of the year that last year was a little bit of a fluke, but they just keep coming back, don't they? They don't want to go away. It's like a bad smell.
Yeah, they're getting hot at the right time. And I feel like, I know we said this to each other, I feel like they match up well against the Bills. I feel like when we played them, we actually matched up probably better against them than the Bills did. We just couldn't score. Obviously, they couldn't either. They could only score 10 points. But, I mean, essentially could have won that game on a knife's edge and a big turnover. It changes the season. But this matchup for Bengals really suits them. I reckon it even suits against the Chiefs. I reckon they could go into the Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, what are they, like 3-0 against the Chiefs the last ever since Burrow came in? So, I know
that. Oh, yeah. What are they calling a Burrowhead? Burrowhead Stadium. So, look, the big man's going to enter Burrowhead, and if he comes out 4-0, that's going to be huge. I mean, I did see people talking about, like, we expected Josh Allen and Mahomes to be the new Brady versus Manning, but, I mean, it's looking less likely. It's looking more like Mahomes v. Burrow, doesn't it?
Yeah, Mahomes v. Burrow, and then Allen is now the new Phillip Rivers, just floating out.
You did say
here.
That, and, and I had, as soon as you said that, more and more people started talking about it. The similarities are just crazy. Number 17, all this other shit. He just needs to have 10 kids now, and he'd be right.
he's just, the man is seeming always to be a bridesmaid. I mean, poor old Diggs is just, might be getting cold out there watching other people's celebration ceremonies as well. Like, that's 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
And the fallout could be huge. I mean, you don't want to buy into too much that you see on social media, but a lot of the talks about Diggs trying to leave the locker room early. I mean, other guys being angry. I know Poyer has been liking, again, how much can you actually draw from people liking tweets? But, like, you know, Poyer liking tweets about him joining other people in, like, Miami and those sorts of things.
That.
So
it'll be
an interesting one. Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, it's absolutely born out of vicious rumors, but... But if you were to get something from anywhere, I think it really builds the narrative. And from looking on the outside in, you know, just from like a casual viewing, it really does feel like the Bills have been throwing everything at it the last couple of years, and they've come up with duck's eggs, like just absolutely nothing.
Well, they've come up with absolutely diddly, and there's holes in their game. I mean, the running game stunk. It was non-existent.
Dead.
And they need to do something in the offseason. Saquon Barkley is going to be a free agent. So Tony Pollard's going to be a free agent. So could be a few movements there. Gus Edwards is going to be one as well. So we could see them really go all in. Maybe a Bijan Robinson drafted to the Bills. But, their offensive line struggled a bit as well. They might look to beef that up. But, I mean, what is your take on not his behavior, but like how Stephon Diggs carried himself after the game. Now he's tweeted out today saying, like, what do you expect me to do? I've taken a loss. But I mean, like, everyone on his team lost, yet he's the only one doing it. It's hard for me because I can understand his passion, his commitment. He's like really upset, but at the same time, everyone else is in the same boat as him.
Yeah. And I suppose wide receiver is one of those positions where I know they can be a bit of divas sometimes. And I don't want to put them in a stereotype and that, but they can be just as critical as a QB, right, for the game.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But they can have sometimes little to no bearing on a game. I mean, they are almost the playmaker, but they are so reliant on someone else, you know, providing them the tools to be a playmaker. It must be the most frustrating thing. You know, like a QB, the game's always in your hands. The ball always touches you at least once, you know, pretty much every play. Offensive line, defensive line, all that sort of stuff. Even like a running back, you know, when it's your turn to shine, you're getting handed the ball and it's your decision. Whereas for them, they've got to, one, get themselves open. They've got to actually be throwing the ball. They've got to deal with this the whole time. And they may only get it once or twice a game and they run all this sort of stuff. So I think it can be a very emotional position. I mean, especially when you're coming up against guys like you, like he played up against Eli Apple, and credit to Eli, he had probably his one first game that he was actually good at for his entire career. And rightfully so, he chirped on social media, but I think it'll be interesting to see if he ever does that again once he plays poorly. But, you know, it can be a really emotionally charged thing, and especially for a guy like Diggs who has, you know, been there so many times. He's gotten so close. Like, I remember with the Vikings, and then he came across the Bills. And he just, no matter what he does, he pours his heart and soul in it, and he physically cannot do any more because, you know, it's out of his hands, and it must be so frustrating for him. And I think it's just, he's only able to bottle it up for so much, and he's clearly letting it out now.
Yeah, well, I think you hit the nail on the head there. Like, you, for lack of a better term, you can't dig your team out of a hole like a quarterback can, like a defense can. A defense can dig you out of a hole because they can just get a stop, get you the ball back in such good position. But yeah, the quarterback pretty much dictates everything. You can just run as many routes as you can. You could get so open, it won't matter. Like, as long as you don't, if you don't get it, then you're doing absolutely diddly. But yeah, look, yeah, Apple, and I can't remember, there was two guys covering him during the day and he only had four catches. So that, yeah, you're right. They did a fantastic job. Eli Apple, I mean, he's been wild on Twitter. He is just absolutely hammering and peppering everyone. And it's hard to come back when he's still, like, in the playoffs. You can't, you don't really, he's playing like shit, but he doesn't seem to care. He doesn't give an absolute rat's ass what anyone says.
Yeah, the winners and get to write the story, hey?
Oh, yeah, correct. That is absolutely right. But and then he also tweeted out that thing that people have, like, sort of given the connotation towards the DeMar Hamlin situation, and he's had to apologize for that. So he put his foot in it, but he's also just dishing out some absolute dirt on people.
Yeah, and I mean, it's funny because this is the first time we've actually ever heard of him all season. And yes, he held him down, but got to be honest, the weather was on his side. I mean, that was not a game that you needed to be passing in. And I mean, The Bengals played it well. You said they matched up so nicely. I mean, their run game, Joe Mixon was on fire.
Yeah.
But I mean, you watched, like, he didn't even have to even run. Like, he would, like, all you had to do was push yourself into the line and you would fall over and slide and get 5 yards. Like, not even, Naheem Hines couldn't do that. I mean, I think Josh Allen was their highest rusher and he only got about 20 or 30 yards. Like, the fact is, all you had to do was get on your skates, literally, and move forward, and you would at least get like 3 or 4 yards. You do that three times a drive, that'll get you your first down every time.
Yeah, correct. And look, yeah, they didn't play that well, and the Bengals just played it fantastically. And I think, look, this is going to be something that probably haunts Allen for a long time in his career. I mean, he's just going to, the slander on him is huge now, and I don't think it's unwarranted. I think he is a very good quarterback, but I think he's a little bit overhyped. Not to the extent that people are really trashing him now. I still think he's very good, but he's maybe not the savior that everyone was touting him to be. But look, it's still young and still early days.
What do you think? Like, maybe, okay, he's not the top three quarterback. Like, he's probably still a top five, but maybe just not that top three quarterback that everyone thinks he is.
Yeah, I don't think he's top three. Five, I mean, there's so many names you can put up there in contention. It's all situational for me. I guess, and it's for everyone, really. Like,
yeah,
it's such
a
situational
position. Like, if you were to just take a base value, look at the box score, would you pop him top five?
Probably, yeah. Week in, week out, yeah, you probably would, correct. Rushing ability and passing ability. He's got the cannon. But, yeah, just in those moments, he can't really deliver. But, yeah, you're right. Like, give different people different weapons. Like, I use Lamar as an example. If you had Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, like, you'd be laughing. But Joe Burrow's got them. But Joe Burrow's also a fucking fantastic quarterback, and it eats me alive.
He's so good, isn't he? And it's funny because, you know, he is actually the, I think he now has the highest win rating for a quarterback taken at number one in the playoffs, amazing. which is only four. Like, it's not much, but, like, it just goes to show that how many, like, you look at over the years, like, how many of the number one picks as a quarterback do actually go on to have that sort of sustained success. And it's not often. I mean, it's sort of the same as, like, when the guys come out of into college, like, as a five-star. How many of those five-star guys end up actually becoming, you know, those Alabama studs or whatever? It's actually, you know, the random guys out in, like, Central Michigan or, you know, North Dakota State that end up becoming, you know, the NFL players.
Well, it's very true. And I guess we look at the situation and we talk about situational quarterbacks and we look at Brock Purdy. I mean, he's won more playoff games than most quarterbacks in the NFL now, and most quarterbacks that have played in the NFL that are much better than him. But he's also got serious weapons and an elite defense, and he's just, he's playing serviceable. But situationally, you could plonk another dumb number of guys in there and do the same job. But credit to him, he is doing a fantastic job under pressure.
Yeah, I mean, he's just coming along for the ride, isn't he? And just, And he's just playing like really smart footy. Like you can see he's got all the confidence. And I think this is part of it. Like you look at the position of quarterback and it is such a confidence-based position. If you come in, you feel like you have the support and, you know, you have the playbook down pat and you're able to just, you know, create your throws, make your decisions. I mean, that's all it is. Like you literally just have to sit and watch, you know, but sometimes it can get so complicated. I mean, look at Justin Fields. He went from just like a gunslinger to a guy that can barely throw over 20 yards now just because he has just lost every single confidence and everyone has lost faith in him as well. So, I mean, I think that's a big part of it as well. And San Francisco just look like they're having fun. They look like they're just bringing the vibes. And I really think that they are going to trouble someone over the next 2 weeks.
It's going to be interesting. I'm actually really torn on that decision. I guess we won't get into that game yet. We've probably got to talk about the rest of the games. But like it makes for such a great matchup, that one, and I really can't pick it. So, I mean, let's dive into the first game. We've talked about a little bit of games so far, but look, Jaguars Chiefs, what firstly took you by surprise in this one?
Mahomes coming back on from injury. Like that has got to be, and I don't know the fallout of it yet. And I know he sort of talked about, apparently he had scans during the game and he said there was nothing that they could see. But I mean, you could tell that guy was hurt. Like that was a big man that fell on his leg there and he was struggling to keep weight on it. And I mean, in a game like that, they were not, it was close, but you never felt like the Jags were ever going to trouble them. And I think just to go out there, and I know he's a competitor and all that, but really, at what cost was that for, like, long-term? The next 3 weeks, at what cost was that coming out just to beat the Jags by 7?
Yeah, look, time will tell. Like, lose this week and it'll get scrutinized massively. If he has a poor performance, he can't move around on it well. It's like, well, geez, like, was that worth it? But take him even further and people will ride him even harder. I mean, commentators already ride him hard enough. He makes an average pass. He does something not that fantastic and they're just blowing their load on him. Granted, he is a star, but yeah. It's an interesting one. And I guess, they said high ankle sprain, but we don't know the extent.
Well, I mean, we've seen some of those syndesmosis injuries, I mean, around the league and stuff. And see it happen. That's like an automatic 2 to 4 weeks for those guys.
Well, it's tight rep surgery or whatever it's called. Like you straight away, you go 6 to 8 weeks, you're out of your supercoach team for a little while.
It's the absolute pit. You're like, fucking get your fucking ankles right.
It seems more prevalent now as well. Like I feel like it's something that we never really talked about 5, 10 years ago, but it seems to be so common now.
Well, I suppose a lot of like it's guys getting tangled up essentially, and you know, a bone that's a bone or a joint that's supposed to be straight is getting bent, and like, but it's like a lot of those wrestle things, I suppose. And looking in the line, you know, it's those places where it's an awkward injury. You know, he's not watching. There's some guy coming, pushing his lineman in from behind, and they come in and collapse in on his leg. Yeah. So he's got no idea.
300 kilos on top of him,
mate. Yeah. So. Plus the extras, like, you know. So I think it was interesting to me for him to come out and do that, especially when, like, Chad Henne came out, he delivered a good drive. I mean, he just kept dishing the footy to Kelsey, like, because that was all Mahomes was going to do anyway. So I think he couldn't have really done any more wrong. And they could have easily just sort of worn the Jags down like they did anyway and preserved Mahomes.
Oh, I definitely could have. Look, yeah, it's hard to say whether they would have continued on the same trend. He didn't pass that many more times. But look, yeah, they got the job done. Trevor Lawrence really has improved out of sight this season. And the scary thing is for them, I suppose, they're 7 points off a win here. Yeah, they probably weren't ever going to win it, I don't believe. But they get Calvin Ridley next year on a team that's already improving on offense.
Yeah, and to be honest, their defense has been quite good these last couple of weeks. You've seen it's come together. It's been a real team effort, not like a star-studded lineup like the Cowboys or the 49ers or something like that. It's just a bunch of battlers playing together and just doing it for the hard yards. I think, probably the thing that's crueled them has been the turnovers, hasn't it? I mean, last week, obviously, against the Chargers, there was 4 interceptions in the first half. Yep. You know, this one, the interception at the end and also the fumble, I think it was off the punt. That's what killed them.
Well, we said that. We said that last week when we said if you have 4 turnovers in a game against a better team, you're not going to win. And they had 2.
Didn't win.
Potentially scorable positions. Like, the intercept, no, but that's because they were chasing points. But Agnew's one, they were definitely in position to get some sort of points and then the turnovers really cost them. So then they're chasing tail. They've got points against them and then they're really trying to get back there, like claw it back, and it's just hurt them in the end.
Yeah, no, guys. So I suppose it looks like, I mean, probably the biggest thing as well for the Chiefs, they move on. And considering the Bills lost now, they actually get to host the game, whereas that was going towards a neutral site. That would have been actually quite interesting to see, I think. Like, they were talking about it's already sold out and everything like that. But I feel like, I don't know, do you think like a neutral site under like the dome or whatever, because it would have been a Mercedes-Benz.
Yes.
Would that have potentially leaned towards more Buffalo or Kansas City?
I mean, this I don't know. They're both playing quite cool climates. I mean, Buffalo is obviously even more crazy. There are teams that probably match up differently against each other in the style that they play. And we talked about Bengals matching up really well against the Chiefs. I think they're fairly evenly matched, Bills Chiefs. I think their recent matchups have showed that. And I actually couldn't pick a winner in that one. And it's hard that I'd almost lean more towards Bengals against Chiefs this week.
Yeah, no, I love that. So that was the first sort of game on the Sunday. Then we had the Eagles and the Giants. I mean, and this was just, I mean, we knew the Eagles would probably win, but after last week, the Giants really looked like they were going for something and they just had absolutely nothing. They had no answers whatsoever.
Nah, they'd done their dough last week. I think they played their best that they possibly could. They knocked out the Vikings, which we were happy about. But this week showed, I think they played a team that's a class above. I mean, this team's excellent. AJ Brown only had 3 catches for 22 yards and they still dominated. They're still in 38-7, 3 touchdowns on the ground. Hurts. I mean, how much do people have to doubt him, especially our friend Mikko? Like, you can put him in the conversation for a top quarterback this year. Like, he's just been excellent from go to woe. I have nothing that I can say that's so bad against him that says that they cannot win this title.
No, well, I think he is even like, look, probably not in the box score. And if you were just like to, you know, look at the stats every week, you wouldn't think that Hurts is anywhere near it. But I genuinely think that he, you know, if they were to go MVP as in your actual most valuable player, he was been the most valuable player to his team throughout the whole league. I mean, we saw what happened when Minshew came in, you know, didn't exactly fall apart, but it certainly was not what it is today. And I mean, you can just see what Hurts adds to that offense. And even that flows onto the defense and things like that, like just the way that he brings everyone together, as you sort of said, like just the small stuff like Smith, AJ Brown, he puts them in the right moments on the dial. And like, then he just rushes like that man for an anytime touchdown scorer. He is absolute bank at the moment.
Oh, it's wild. Yeah, correct. I think you could pretty much, what did I see someone saying? The US has $1 trillion of debt.
Why don't we just put $1 trillion
on Jalen Hurts anytime. We'll get ourselves out of debt. I actually thought that was fucking brilliant. But I think, I mean, it's not underappreciated, but I think the defense for the Eagles, and we've mentioned this guy, and I think I talked about him in the preseason, Hassan Reddick. He's one that they got from the Panthers. I mean, he's got a stupid amount of sacks this year. And I think their defensive coordinator said, come out and said, if we played him in pass rush all season, he would have clocked up way more. They played him off ball. They played him on like setting him back, sort of watching. I think this defense against the 49ers defense, we could be in for a low scorer potentially because these two are just wild. But
yeah,
I think that's going to play it out.
I think we will because, I mean, you look at what they did to the Giants and they just constricted them so much. Like they couldn't get any momentum. I think they only had like, God, it wasn't even like 60 yards in the first half. Like that's just ridiculous.
It was horrible. Yeah, correct.
Like they just had absolutely nothing on the ground. Jones was getting pressured every single time he dropped back. And like, you just see he could get no momentum on there. And they just pieced him out. And I think again, for a team like to come up against 49ers and to get in the face of like an experienced quarterback, who that is Daniel Jones now. He's what, 5-6 years in the league now. So to get in the face of him and what they're going to do to Brock Purdy, I think that's going to be a real test of his character.
Oh, it's going to be a massive test. I think both of these guys being so new in the league, and I mean, Purdy's even newer than Hurts, but yeah, this is going to be the biggest test of their career. I mean, obviously, we're not guaranteed the winner of this just wins the Super Bowl. I think that the top four teams, I mean, 3 of these teams ran it back from last year. Yeah. The Eagles are the only new team. Like, we're clearly seeing 3 dominant forces. The Eagles have now joined as the 4th dominant force. And, I mean, yes, teams change year on year, but you can see these 4 coming back more often than not in the soon future.
Yeah, they're just built for a longevity, aren't they? This isn't like a Rams just catapulting in Stafford and, you know, a couple other like Odell Beckham or like, say, even Tom Brady at the Bucs, you know. These are guys that they built up and just surrounded by good, honest lists and just guys that are putting it together week in, week on.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, teams are eventually going to get priced out of the market and Bengals might be one that gets priced out sooner rather than later. I don't know about Bills. Bengals definitely will when you've got guys to pay, like T. Higgins, like Jamar Chase, like, I don't know, Joe Mixon's got himself a new contract. He might. And then you've got Joe Burrow that they're obviously going to try and manage a contract for very soon. I think that would be smart.
Yeah, no. So huge wraps on them. I suppose, yeah, moving on, we sort of talked about the Bengals and the Bills game.
We did.
But probably the main thing is, as we said, matchups. Like, the Bengals just played the game really well. It was just snow. It was shocking. It was a terrible day to play over the top footy. And that's just what the Bills tried to do. They kept trying to air it out. And, you know, those sort of contested catches are hard enough on a normal day, let alone if you've got a slippery ball like that and in the wet and the snow and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they probably worked that. And then as well, on their defense, you saw the Bills, they seemed to play – they seem to go to the zone a bit, which, you know, is obviously a more reactive way to defend, which is fine in, you know, the perfect day when you can get a grip on the floor. But you saw so many guys slipping over that day, trying to keep up or, you know, chase and react and things like that. And it was just probably, it was probably a day where you should just man up, you know, if you get burnt over the top, so be it. But you're more than likely that, you know, if you can even get close, that a contested catch is going to fall to the ground regardless, just because of the conditions.
Oh, 100%. I think, yeah, you're right. They played such a, I mean, a style of football in their own home ground that just really wasn't conducive to the conditions. I mean, for me, Bengals just outplayed them, outcoached them, outplayed them, outschemed them. I think they were excellent. Frustratingly, yeah, I thought they were really good. They probably could have won by more, to be fair. I think there was a disallowed touchdown to Jamar Chase early in the game that, to me, looked like a touchdown. I'm really not sure what they were seeing there. But there's also, I mean, I don't know if I'm wrong here. I'll quickly have a look at the stats, but I don't believe the Bengals, what, 2 penalties for 9 yards as opposed to 8 for 60. I mean, they were just, I don't know if it was just luck or no pass interferences. I think that's the biggest one. I think you were saying there was an absolutely junk pass interference call at the end against the Bills. Like, it just can change a game on, like, on just one play. Like, if you're in a tight match, you give up this something that puts them right in contention on third down that is an incomplete and it's fourth down, or they make 50 yards on some bullshit play.
Yeah, no, that's what it was. I mean, it was literally just like a hit and hope that they were trying to get through, and it would have swayed the contest really, because Bills get the ball back and I think they're only down by one score at that point. But of course, Bengals get marched to the front of the line. Look, I thought it was probably soft, to be honest. It was the one where the safety sort of came along and cleaned up one of the receivers. But
yeah.
I mean, I could probably see it going both ways, but I thought it was just incidental.
Yeah, I agree. I think that pass interference one, I feel like they're going to look at a lot of these things. I think as a defender, I think it's really difficult. I think if you're a corner, it's such a difficult position to play. And I think they're getting crucified more than probably what is necessary. Like, they're just playing with one arm tied behind their back half the time. Like, that, if you make any sort of, like if you're getting caught up with some guy, more often than not, you're getting a flag thrown. So I find that really difficult, and I wonder if they'll make changes.
Yeah, well, I suppose it hurts as well, because when it often, like, rewards poor quarterback play. Like, a lot of the times when you see, like, the ball gets underthrown.
And yes, that's all.
Yeah, and the receiver, like, obviously tries to adjust. And, you know, as a corner, you're not sort of looking at that. You're playing the man. You've got no idea. Like, you, and I suppose it comes into that thing, like, maybe, oh, you should turn around last minute, but then you could just get burnt so many times as well. So it's just, you're in a rock and hard place there, aren't you?
Yeah, fuck. I actually didn't even consider it. Like, it's such a good point. Like, you just, the biggest gripe, like, you're watching a game, the quarterback you're playing against makes an absolute dust throw. Their bloke turns around, sees it, and yours just cleans this guy up. And you know, gone. Flag is coming.
Yeah.
There was such a nothing play, and they gained 40 yards on something absolute shit because the guy can't throw for shit.
And so deads, it like cannons into the defender's like back or his helmet or something. Like,
it's such a killer. I cannot stand watching that. It's frustrating. Like, I'm sure it happens to every other team more often, but as soon as it happens to you, it's just killer.
Oh, mate, it hurts. It hurts. So, but look, yeah, Bengals, the masterminds, I think that bodes well for them. And then finally, we had the 49ers and the Cowboys. Now, this was another, like, a defensive slugfest, wasn't it? It couldn't be any much else. But I think at the end of the day, like, the 49ers won because they played a good game.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do too well on offense, to be honest. But the Cowboys were just shocking, and they had some turnovers and some really critical phases of the game.
Yeah, where does this leave Dak Prescott? I mean, we saw the Cowboys tweet. They're pretty much absolutely threw their quarterback under the bus, and they didn't remove it. Like, it is still there, I believe. So what are your thoughts on what Dak Prescott does this offseason?
I think he's got to go. Like,
oh yeah,
for both him and the organization. Like, clearly, you're not going to get any further with him. You've done all you could. You've squeezed all the juice out of the fruit. I think there's no point continuing, especially with such a toxic fan base. Like, between Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles and probably the Bills Mafia, you know, they're the three teams that you want to be successful at. I mean, and you look at a place like there, you've got some decent weapons around you, like CeeDee Lamb. I mean, even like
so the good
resurgence of the finding of Tony Pollard, even Ezekiel Elliott's talking about staying for less money. So, I mean, when you're such a big market like that as well, you could look at actually attracting someone outside of free agency and not just having to go dip into the draft like a Texans or Jags or something to get someone. Like, you could dip into free agency. Like, I mean, how hard would it be for Jerry Jones to go over and tempt like Rodgers or Tom Brady or even Derek Carr? Or like, not that he would be good, but you know, that's what I mean. Like, tempting someone like that over to there wouldn't be even that hard at all.
Even a Geno Smith. I know Geno Smith might be the system quarterback over in Seahawks, but yeah, look, you're right. They're a big ticket, big market team, and they've got no issues. I mean, Zeke Elliott's got no choice but to take a pay cut for me. I think, yeah, he scored some touchdowns and came back, but they're all in red zone. Tony Pollard goes off for 150, and then Zeke just gets these rushing touchdowns and gets all the credit. But, yeah, Pollard, I mean, we'll talk about free agency quickly before we wrap up after this. But, yeah, Pollard's one I feel like they can't let go. He's looked excellent this year.
Oh, he was pulling all the strings, wasn't he, for the group assignment between Pollard, Zeke, and Dak. You know, he was the one out there doing the work and hards, and then, you know, Zeke just slapped his name on the front and like just as they submitted to the professor.
Oh yeah, massively. Yeah, he's really taken him for a ride. The funny one is with this, and we've seen it so often now, is we talked about Eli Apple on Twitter. I mean, we saw Devo Samuel's post that sort of criticized Micah Parsons bit back, and obviously it's a losing battle. We've talked about this.
I thought Micah dealt with it well though. Like, he did. Yeah, I thought he did. I thought he did deal with that well. Like, you know. Because I think it's good for, like, if you want to get on Twitter, I think it's good. Like, you got to do it before the game. You got to put yourself out there because, and that's what Micah did. And it's easy to keep your receipts and go back when you've won. Sure, no worries.
Yeah.
It's low-hanging fruit. But, you know, put yourself out there before the game if you really back yourself. And, you know, Micah did back himself, and I thought he played all right. Like, and be fair, he, like, Debo or whatever clapped back at him, didn't have the hugest game either. So, you know, it's easy to sort of, you know, pick the low-hanging fruit. But I think if these guys want to get on top of each other, do it before the game, put your money where your mouth is, and leave yourself out hanging out to dry because, you know, yes, it sucks when you lose, but, gee, if you pick it beforehand, you look like fucking, you know, the heyday of Conor McGregor. I mean, you remember that? Jeez.
Yeah.
Nothing better.
No, that's right. You really set yourself up for a massive failure there. But, yeah, look, you're right. I think Mike actually, out of everyone, kind of handled this really well and classy. And I think... Yeah, I mean, Devo wasn't his best game. He also wasn't terrible, 45 yards, 11 rushing yards. But, like, yeah, you're right. He didn't do a huge amount to impact the game. Wasn't Parsons' best game, but I don't know. It creates a little bit of drama. It's a bit exciting, but it's just so much easier when you win the game. You can just say what you want and it won't matter because you're still there. But, yeah, look, Cowboys gone. Dak potentially gone. It could be a huge turnover there. But San Francisco right on, and that brings us to our conference championships.
Yeah, huge. Look, I suppose we'll start off with the NFC, 49ers, Eagles. I mean, this bodes to be a great game. You look at, like, obviously the 49ers, probably the best defense in the league, like, surely. Yeah. And you look at the Eagles and, you know, outside of having, like, a cannon arm quarterback, I still think they've got one of the most electric offenses in the league, like, both running and air.
Oh, there's no question. They've built this offense specifically for their quarterback, and it's panned out fantastically. I think Des Bryant put it as if the Ravens give Lamar what the Eagles did to Jalen Hurts. I mean, they're going to get themselves in a good position. I mean, it's proof in the pudding, I think.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts this season, people would have him in the bottom 10 quarterbacks in the league. But here we're talking about him in the MVP conversation, potential to win a Super Bowl, and putting up career numbers and breaking records. Like, it's just, I mean, we can bang on about situations as much as we want. Like, it is time and a place.
Mm.
And this guy has landed in such a situation and they're looking fantastic. It is more of a battle against the Eagles offense versus the San Fran defense. I think the Eagles defense will do a number.
Yeah.
Both have weapons, but yeah, I think the battle will be in that trench there.
And I think it's really going to, like, it's really going to put pressure on the 49ers offense. We saw that they weren't able to, you know, create much last week against a stout defense against the Cowboys. Yep. And I think going up against that again, you know, two really good teams in a row is really going to test their mettle. You know, Brock Purdy, I don't want to see him slip up, but, you know, that's why they call it the rookie wall for a reason, because eventually it does hit and it fucking hits hard.
Oh, and, yeah.
You know, it's sort of like a point of like when, not if, and you just sort of think that, you know, maybe his time's running out. I really don't want to believe it, because I love this train that I'm following. Like, the Brock Purdy train is just fucking outstanding at the moment, and I think he's just standing and delivering. I think it'll be fun to watch, because I didn't realize till a couple of days ago this week, but there's a lot of coming out that Jalen Hurts and Brock Purdy have actually played each other before in college.
Huge game.
Yeah, so it was the Big 12 Championship in, last year, or no, 2 years ago, I think, whenever Hurts was.
2020, I believe. Yeah. I think it was 2020.
Yeah, 42-41, Jalen Hurts came out as a winner, but, I mean, Oklahoma up 42-20 or something ridiculous, and Brock Purdy somehow almost took them to the win, and they only go down because instead of going to overtime, they go for the two-point play, which I think is, you know, I love that. That is Brandon Staley ballsy.
Oh, big time.
It's very risky doing it in a championship game.
Yeah, I'm just trying to have a look and try and find the box score from this. But, yeah, I mean, Purdy threw for 5 touchdowns. Hurts was electric. Like, you know, Clemmie, it was just amazing. I mean, it's crazy to think.
6 total touchdowns for Purdy.
There you go.
And 5 total for Hurts.
Wow. I mean, it's absolutely huge for a team that's not Iowa State. It's, I guess, not a huge high-powered offense normally. So, I mean, Purdy clearly didn't get a look in, but – I guess you could never have written this, that those two will meet each other in an NFC championship like later down the line. I think it's crazy looking at the quarterbacks as individually where these guys were taken. And like, I'm obviously Burrow and Mahomes are absolute stars, and they were taken in the top 10, number 1 and 10, I believe. But then you look at the other side of the ball, and it sometimes doesn't matter who you are and where you're taken. If the team's good and you're serviceable, you can get them pretty far.
Well, yeah, I think for sure. I mean, because even Mahomes, like, he came out and everyone knew he sort of had a big arm, but it was still just this kid out of Texas Tech. Like, you know, there wasn't much rap.
Yeah,
he was still sitting behind Alex Smith for all that time. And, you know, so it's not like he sort of came in as a stud as well. So it's kind of fun to watch these guys, because they clearly are, you know, not your prototypical winning college games, but they go along. They actually have a really good college career. And then they come forward and they can, you know, keep it going against some of these defenses, which can really, you know, can really frazzle a lot of quarterbacks. I mean, yeah, look at a guy like Derek Carr. Like, he is clearly, like, I don't know if you've ever listened to him talk about, like, breaking down defenses and stuff, but holy shit, man. The guy sounds like a savant.
Mm-hmm.
But even him, he comes out, and once he's on the field and under the bright lights, he just turns to mud sometimes. And it's just, it's amazing that this can happen to these guys that have, you know, gone through high school. They've gone through, you know, it's not like they're getting drafted at 18. They've gone through college. They're getting drafted at 25, 26 or 24, whatever. And they still can't get the hang of this thing. And, you know, these guys come in, they just have like a solid career and they just pick it up like that. Like, bang, it's wild. Yeah,
it must be frustrating for some of these other guys, just seeing like these guys just, I mean, doing what they're doing and doing such a good job. Yeah, people must be looking at Brock Purdy going, fuck, like, I thought I was better than this guy, and this guy's almost, he's 2 games away from the Super Bowl. Like, it's absolutely mind-boggling. But if you were to pick a winner right now, 49ers, Eagles, what do you got?
Dude, money's on the Eagles, really. I think just on basically you look at sort of where they match up, and they're all sort of fairly thereabouts or evens, except for the quarterback. I think Jalen Hurts is way better than what Brock Purdy is. And I think he can sort of deliver on the stage. He had the chance in playoffs last year. He has had the issue in the national championships when he was at Alabama as well. But I think, you know, he's learned from that. He's come through. Mm. He's went through Oklahoma. He went through, you know, the Eagles. He had the hurt of last year against Tampa Bay. And he's back. And he was ready to settle a score. Like, if this last weekend showed us against the Giants, this man is here to play.
Oh my God, he certainly is. Yeah, for me, it's almost screen. I'm thinking like an Eagles 24-17. I don't know if it'll be that high scoring even, but that's what's sitting there for me. I think Philadelphia -2.5 is the play. I think they do get away with this one and make it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, love that. So then I suppose we got to look at the AFC game, as we said, at Burrowhead Stadium. Joe Shiesty, you just can't get enough of this man. Like, he just keeps delivering. I don't know what more to say, really. Like, this guy just keeps turning up. And to be matter of fact, I want him to win. Like, I really do.
Yeah.
Chiefs are like my new Patriots now. I don't see any joy when they win. And I just want to see the Bengals just roll over them easy.
Oh, no. For me, this is when I want to see the Chiefs win. You say you can't have enough of Burrow. I've had enough. I've seen enough. It's more than enough for me. I guess when you have to deal with a guy in your own division, I guess you deal with Mahomes twice a year.
Yeah, it's like two times a year, isn't it?
Yeah, correct. It's just like, I don't know. For me, Bengals just really infuriate me at the moment. They were shit for so long. They're frustrating now because they're going to be good for quite a while. But I don't know. They keep turning up at the right time of year. I've always thought they're not as good as they are, or people put them out to be, but they still keep proving me wrong. It's quite, yeah, I don't know.
Is it hard?
I think they do.
Because this was supposed to be your time to shine, you know, Roethlisberger retires, you know, the Browns are the Browns, and then, you know, Cincinnati, whatever, they get the first number one pick. Oh, who cares? You know, there'll still be a shit team. You're sitting there thinking, this is our division for the next 5 to 10 years. Lamar's going to roll in easy. He's going to get the easiest run into playoffs. Oh, man, look at you. You are getting absolutely spanked.
Yeah, it's frustrating because we beat them. We can beat them, and we have beaten them, but, yeah, not at the right time of year. But yeah, look, they could go to back-to-back Super Bowls, and I really want the Chiefs to win, but my gut says I think the Bengals get away with this one.
Yeah, I like that too, and I think they actually might be the favorites now. Like, the money has them in, to be honest.
Yeah, -1.5 Cincinnati, which is wild. That's wild.
Yeah, but especially like away.
It could be based on what we know about Mahomes or don't know about Mahomes, I reckon.
Yeah. Well, I think that's really going to cut it. Like, if he's if he's not there, they're not a chance, are they?
No, they're not. They're not. And it's funny because, like, you look, we talked about preseason that he's lost weapons and they're never going to do it. But geez, the redemption arc of some of these blokes. I mean, Juju Smith-Schuster, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and Kadarius Toney could get themselves to a Super Bowl.
God.
I think it's absolutely crazy. If you told me that this was they're going to be starting wide receiver core 1, 2, 3, I would have laughed.
Yeah, it's hilarious, isn't it? And it just sort of shows just sort of what he's capable to do. You know, he can really bring the best out of those guys, can't he?
Yeah, this is a situation where the quarterback pretty much drives everything. It's not like you're sitting in a team that's red hot. It's that you're creating the players. You're making these things happen on the back of yourself. So I get, for me, that's why he's MVP for the year. I really hope they make the Super Bowl. I think he deserves it. And I think, yeah, it's hard. None of these teams I like. It's all four of these teams I cannot stand. The lesser of evils for me at the moment is probably the Chiefs, purely on the fact that I can't bear Meikle winning Super Bowl again.
I feel like you're at this point where you just don't like any other team except for the Ravens in the Super Bowl. Like, that's what I'm getting. That's what I'm getting from the universe.
There's a few lowly teams that I could deal with. I could cop a Lions. I could cop a Jets.
Oh, righto. So something that's never going to happen, yeah.
Yeah, correct. I can wear that. That's totally fine. Yeah, but anyone else that's half decent, I can piss off.
Well, glad to know you might actually enjoy us winning a Super Bowl then as well.
Well, yeah, that's right. The way it's going, but no.
When pigs fly, I suppose.
Well, but, when you get Sean Payton next year.
Hey, yeah. I mean, and those talks are ramping up. Apparently, they've talked to everyone. Like, they were talking to, I think, like, Cowboys coordinators, San Francisco coordinators. I mean, but apparently Sean Payton is the number one on the list. Russ is keen. Again, don't know how good or bad that is, considering what we saw this year. But Russ is keen to cook again. So, and I mean, look, put the man back in the kitchen. Can't get any worse, I say.
Yeah, look, I think you're right there. It's going to be – I think we're probably just going to have to leave it at the games for this week. We're going to talk about free agency. I think we're going to have to let the season play out and then really ramp it up into free agency and things that are going to – pennies, dominoes that are going to drop and make the whole landscape change.
Yeah.
But I think we've got more important pressing issues at the moment with these games. So, look, I think that's probably it for us this week, isn't it?
Yeah, look, we love it. So, I think both the games are on the Monday this week. Tuck into them early. It'll be the end of Jan. Hopefully we're still seeing a little bit more summer. I know down our end it's still frosting in the morning, which is absolutely ridiculous, but I'll still be trying to get up at 7 a.m. to watch these ones, and I know you will, Cam, but we look forward to that because then 2 weeks after is the big daddy, and I'm super excited for it.
Yeah, I'm really hoping the matchups, like, I mean, I think any combination of this is exciting, but yeah, look, we hope for a good Super Bowl. It's been a while since we've had a real red hot one. I think last year's was decent.
Yeah,
it was absolutely close at the end, but I don't know. Yeah, it's, to me, it hasn't had that sort of real build up for a little while yet.
It's hard. I think like probably last one was that like Philly v Patriots game. That was on a knife's edge, wasn't it? Like that.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
And it probably didn't help. I was at the pub for that one too. So like I was, you know, when you're in the thick of it, you know,
anything's exciting.
Oh, I know, right? But no, I think that'll do us for this week. Look, as always, catch us on our socials. We'll be trying to put out some stuff following up this week. And yeah, can't wait to catch you next time.
Thanks for letting us in your crib. It's been real.